We are back. Like Adrian Peterson's NFL career.
Woo!
What is up? Absolutely Necessary. Returning after a long winter break, we hope you all had a fantastic Christmas, New Year's, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate.
Hanukkah.
I don't know, just spend time with your family, have a good time. We're happy to be back. The podcast family right here. I am Logan Tracy, Jacob Masick, Jackson Layer, all in the house.
Hello, aloha.
You're not Hawaiian.
Aloha
is a general term of greeting.
You changed what you said. Never mind. Continue.
All right, anyway, we are excited to be back and excited to get going this week. We will have at least two or three podcasts for you to get back in the groove of things. And today, we know there's a lot of big news, like Kyler Murray and NHL athletes' butts not being able to fit in their jeans. But we're going to only talk about the NFL coaching hires or vacancies and our picks for regular season awards. So are you guys ready to get started?
Yes, sir. Jacob?
Are you ready to get started?
If you say ready, you ain't got to get ready. Let's go.
Okay. All right, we're going to jump right into the Cleveland Browns. The baker is in the kitchen. Freddie Kitchens officially hired as the head coach for the Cleveland Browns to work with Baker Mayfield and all the other young talent they have. Loads of cap space. I think it was a good move, but what are your guys' thoughts on it?
I mean, it's a fresh face in the franchise. It's kind of interesting that they brought Kitchens, who just started the season as the quote-unquote lowly running backs coach, but quickly rose in the ranks as coaches were dismissed. About every other week, we were seeing some type of news come out of Cleveland just in terms of fighting among the coaches, someone having issues with play calling. Stuff with Cleveland was pretty bad this season. Kitchens isn't a veteran, but I think with the Sean McVay hire, it's NFL is trending in a younger direction, and I think the Browns are a young team. They're trying to reinvent themselves, so why not start with a younger man who this is his first head coaching job.
Jackson?
Yeah, no, I'm actually kind of interested to see how this goes because Freddie Kitchens was the offensive coordinator in the final eight games of the 2018 season. And as we saw in those final eight games, Baker Mayfield had played to an actually impressive string of games as like his accuracy went up, his touchdowns went up, everything that makes a quarterback amazing, like Kitchens was giving to Baker, and Baker was improving upon. So I really like to see that chemistry between coach and quarterback. That's going to take them to the next level, I think. And honestly, like, I'm kind of excited for the Browns. I was excited for them this year, and then they kind of fell through. But now I'm kind of, I don't know. We'll see how Kitchens deals with the head coaching scene.
I think at this point, Kitchens needs to find a defensive coordinator that will help him. He's obviously a good offensive mind because as soon as he took over, Baker played a lot better, got a lot more play calls, and Nick Chubb turned into almost a Pro Bowl type running back. He was catching out of the backfield and running, ending with three times the yards he had under Hugh Jackson for 1,145 on the year. So, I mean, it's clear he can unlock the offense, but they need a defense too for a football team, or at least an average one.
That defense was very improved this year under Greg Williams, who will not be retained but was the interim head coach for the Cleveland Browns. I think Freddie Kitchens is a young, exciting coach. I think a lot of coaches are interested in working with him, so he'll have a good crop of defensive coordinators to pick up. Hopefully that defense continues to grow, led by Myles Garrett. They have a lot of young talent on both sides of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
It is insane, and they have tons of cap space. Though I don't know how I think this free agent class is a little light, which is offset by a pretty heavy defensive draft this year. So anyway, let's move on to the next vacancy I have on my list, which is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who hired former Arizona Cardinals head coach Bruce Arians and one of my resident favorite old men in the world. What do you guys think about old man Bruce?
I thought he was a great coach for the Cardinals. He consistently brought the fire and leadership the team needed. Sometimes it was a little bit of in an interesting way, in an angry way, but sometimes a football team needs that. So Bruce Arians, I think it'll be good for the Buccaneers. It seems like they haven't had a lot of discipline. They have some issues with outspoken characters and a lot of turmoil in that locker room. And I think one thing, if we know, Bruce Arians does a great job of keeping his locker room on track. So
Bruce Arians has a very unique energy about him as a head coach, and it definitely showed with some very successful Arizona teams. I think he's going to have to take some steps to make this team his own team. There's definitely some great players on that team, Gerald McCoy, Levante David, Mike Evans, but your biggest problem, and it'll probably be what defines his tenure, is quarterback. Whether that be Jameis Winston, Ryan Fitzmagic, or someone else, we don't know exactly what's going to go on there. So I think that position will really come to define what happens with Bruce Arians' tenure with the Buccaneers.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you guys. Bruce Arians has been part of the development of many amazing players, and almost had, I would say that they were like one player away from making a dynasty. They were really relevant for a long time. Unfortunate that Larry Fitzgerald didn't get more times at a Super Bowl, but I digress. Bruce Arians, it kind of surprised me that he came out of retirement, but the fact of the matter is, he's meant to be a coach, and he's meant to go lead a team and build up a team. So the Buccaneers, with the Arizona Cardinals, with him like leaving the Cardinals the way he did, with a couple more years on his contract, he knew that they were about to go into a rebuilding phase, and he didn't want to go through that. He was ready to win right now, and he...
Just to interrupt quick,
yeah.
It is reckless speculation to assume that he left while he knew they were going into a rebuild. He did leave for health issues. I'm not saying that the rebuild didn't happen to coincide with health issues.
That's fair, yeah.
And I agree with you, but the public reason he left is health issues, and we will maintain that.
Okay.
However, I agree with you. I think the thought of rebuilding that Cardinals team is not something he was completely interested in.
Right, no, and yeah, alongside like the rebuilding phase, I just like the Buccaneers are kind of on the brink where they're like a retooling phase, not essentially like a that phase. So Bruce Arians is ready to win, and I think that the best chance for him to do that is in Buccaneers territory with one of these teams that are trying to rebuild. So yeah, I'm very happy that Bruce Arians feels that he is able to come back from the health that he's had.
Isn't that funny that Bruce Arians retired for 1 year, the Cardinals are terrible, said he was done with football, and then comes back the year later? Doesn't it kind of seem like he has some type of magic ball where he predicted, or like Carson Palmer was done, so he was done, reportedly had some health issues that he was concerned with, and obviously maybe he got those under control, but it just seems kind of interesting that he just came back all of a sudden to a new team.
Do you think Bruce Arians is secretly the NFL djinn? Like he's an NFL genie and he like knows what's going on and can predict things? If anyone in the NFL was like the NFL, like Coastradamus, essentially, predicts the future.
Well, it's Tony,
do you think it's
Tony
Bruce
Romo.
Arians? Officially, is
it's Tony Romo.
Is it Tony Romo?
Tony Romo can see plays before they happen in the broadcast booth and consistently is right in talking about players. The only thing I don't really know about Tony Romo is if he can predict trades. I don't know anybody that I've really seen that does that well on trades. I mean, maybe Schefter or something. But the person probably predicting stuff that I can see just like overall, I'd say Tony Romo is really good at football. Just great football mind.
And I do want to point out before we pivot and talk about the Cardinals job, or Bruce Arians' old job, that he did say this season he would only come out of retirement for the Cleveland Browns coaching post. However, he does have links to the GM of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and some other people in that organization, and I'm happy he came out. Bruce Arians is one of my favorite coaches. I wish him the best. To pivot to his old team, the Arizona Cardinals fired Steve Wilks after only one season, 3-13 record, the first overall pick in the draft. A lot of ammunition there, and they probably made the most controversial hire in Cliff Kingsbury, the former Texas Tech head coach, was a quarterback guru of a sense. He really transformed some quarterbacks' careers, top of that list being Patrick Mahomes, of course. What do you guys think about Kingsbury being signed to coach the Cardinals.
You know, it's controversial, but I like it. Obviously, we saw Mike McCarthy wouldn't take the job, or reportedly would not take the job, even though the Cardinals were going to offer him full control, even of decision-making with player personnel. Mike McCarthy didn't want that job, was going to decline any offer, and is currently still looking at other jobs.
He's waiting to sit. He's sitting out 19.
Or sitting out 19, yeah.
That's what he decided.
I don't think he's going to go after the Dolphins job.
No.
But, yeah, I actually kind of like this hire just because I think it's time the Cardinals, for a while, it seems like they've been getting flyer. Like, the Carson Palmer thing was like a 1-year, 2-year thing. I think it's time for the Cardinals to, like, make that other level. And I think Cliff Kingsbury taking a quarterback to that next level will only unlock their offense. Because Larry Fitzgerald, even though he's so old, I think he's still a great route runner. And route runners can stay in the league for a long time. Maybe strengthen up that receiving core, but their defense is a big area where they need to improve, especially pass rushing. And their quarterback players have questions. So Kingsbury turned Patrick Mahomes around. Maybe he can unlock Josh Rosen too.
That is fair, and we do want to point out that with that first pick in the draft, there is one Nick Bosa sitting at the top of the draft for them to get. But Jackson, what are your thoughts?
No, I really love this move for the Cardinals. They need a nice, fresh look. They need to go young. And so if this guy is actually the answer for this team, they can lock him down to a long-term contract. And I could see Cliff, again, having that background with Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick Mahomes coming into the league as explosive as he was in 1-year hiatus behind Alex Smith. Like, that's incredible. And I think that, like, that kind of influence in a coach to a quarterback is something that we see in, like, Belichick and Brady, or McCarthy and Rodgers. Like, those types of duos have shaken up this league. And I think that if Rosen, I still believe in Rosen, maybe not next year if he doesn't perform, but I mean, Rosen,
he's a bust.
Okay, guy.
If you had 5 words to say to Cardinals fans about this next year, or that they didn't like this coaching hire and wanted McCarthy or a well-established name, because you said you like Kingsbury.
I like Kingsbury.
So what would you say to Cardinals fans? Because right now on Twitter, they are just absolutely tearing up this hire.
Do not give up hope.
Inspiration. Yeah.
I could only use one word.
Well,
5 letters. RELAX. In the words of the great Aaron Rodgers.
Relax.
Relax.
Okay, guys.
Relax.
To the Kawhi Leonard left.
I'm gonna sort of take devil's advocate here in a sense, because I think Cliff Kingsbury is an amazing person and a great college coach. However, I think in the NFL's pursuit to find the next Sean McVay and to find progressive offensive minds as the league is shifting, I think we overreacted on Kingsbury a bit. He's never coached a successful defense, not even in college. He's been in the Big 12, which is the worst defensive Power 5 conference I can think of. Or is it the Big 10? I can never remember. I get those two switched around. It is the Big 12, because the Big 12 has 10 teams, and the Big 10 has 14 teams, which is stupid. But anyway, I'm definitely concerned about the Kingsbury hire. I don't know if he's going to be able to adapt to an NFL environment, and Steve Keim, the Cardinals GM, really put his job on the line here. I think if this doesn't work out, the Cardinals are going to be in trouble for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Also, Larry Fitzgerald is going to end up being one of the most egregious wastes of a career in history.
That's so sad too. Like, he like, even this year with Rosen, he still put up really good numbers, and he still showed that he has the talent to, like, just carry a team and be a veteran presence. So yep, it's really sad. Is he retiring after this year?
We don't know.
Oh, man.
No one really does, honestly.
He should come to Minnesota just for 1 year.
Who?
Larry.
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to that. Obviously,
Larry,
you'd want to see Larry have a good end of his career, since he was a reliable, good player. Yeah. If you guys were wondering what laugh I was referring to, it's the Kawhi Leonard laugh. Here it is.
I don't even know where you- you sitting at?
Okay. Okay.
Turn it off.
Got him. All right, anyway, we did mention multiple times Sean McVay because the NFL is trying to find the next Sean McVay. So let's go and talk about the exact opposite of Sean McVay, Vic Fangio. The Broncos just hired Vic Fangio to be their head coach, longtime defensive coordinator, 60 years old. I want to let you guys go first because obviously this hire is a little more personal to me and I want to wait, make y'all wait for my opinion. So let's start with Jackson this time. Jackson, what are your thoughts on this hire?
I'm not sure about this. It's like, I'm in the middle, but I'm kind of leaning towards it's a good positive for the Denver Broncos because I feel like they're just a defense away from becoming relevant again.
That's okay.
I mean, you guys have, the Broncos have a solid wide receiving core. You guys have Case Keenum at quarterback, who's a decent quarterback. And I feel like that you guys lost the close game.
Who's you guys?
Sorry. The Broncos lost the close games at the end due to their defense. And I think that's what would have put you at the top. Sorry, would have put the Broncos at the top if they had a sustainable defense.
I appreciate you recognizing that I am the Broncos.
So bringing in a defensive coordinator, I think that was the right decision. That's kind of what Minnesota had to do with Mike Zimmer, as our defense was kind of struggling and during a time. So when we brought Zimmer in from the Bengals as a defensive coordinator, he really just took it by the horns and turned it around for the better. So I think that's what's going to have to happen with the Broncos. And looking at this draft to get either an offensive line lineman or maybe a defensive piece that will help Fangio structure the defense the way he wants it. So I think that's it's a positive, but I'm kind of leaning away from it since he's a little bit older.
Let's get to my opinion.
Oh, God.
Are you just gonna play the music, or are you gonna speak? I hope you can feel the cringe.
This hire does not matter, as John Elway has not been able to find the franchise quarterback that he's always wanted since Peyton Manning left. And I don't think if they're not able to find that quarterback, this hire won't matter. I think their defense will be good, but with Gary Kubiak running the offense, it's a terrible hire. I don't think the head coaching is bad. Gary Kubiak is a terrible coach. And I think it's on John Elway. It's on John Elway to find the quarterback that the Broncos need. So I don't even think we need to discuss the hire. I think we need to discuss what John Elway needs to do this summer to give Vic Fangio a team that he can operate with.
Well, I'm going to completely disagree with you on the Gary Kubiak hire. Gary Kubiak won a Super Bowl with a Peyton Manning whose neck was falling off his body.
Peyton Manning is a legend, don't you?
And Gary Kubiak coached him to a Super Bowl. He coached one of the greatest defenses in NFL history. How is he a bad coach? I think you're completely wrong on that.
Please. He had one of the greatest quarterbacks in history. Don't even at me.
And who got him there? Who got that quarterback there?
He came there after he was already good.
Got him there? Say two words. Who got him there?
Who got him where?
Who sold him on the Broncos?
John Elway.
John Elway. That's right.
Exactly. So his job is to find them a new person because Gary Kubiak got carried by Peyton Manning.
Gary Kubiak exactly did not get carried by Peyton Manning.
One of the worst showings of a Super Bowl quarterback when they won the Super Bowl.
The carried defense the Broncos.
Carried the Broncos, and that's what Kubiak does.
Timely best. Offense and an outstanding all-time coordinator. Defense. Kubiak is now the
you
offensive
said that,
coordinator.
You said that's what Kubiak does best.
No.
Kubiak is a good coach. That's what we're getting at. Kubiak
is a good
coach.
If their offense failed, it's partly on him.
It's not partly on him.
You just said their offense failed, so Kubiak's a good coach.
No,
that doesn't
I said
make a
Peyton Manning failed. I didn't say that the whole offense.
Peyton Manning did not fail.
He won games.
He won the freaking Super Bowl. There's no
fail. He got to the Super Bowl with Brock Osweiler.
It's
QB.
A football team.
Peyton Manning.
This is what you guys don't understand.
All right. Anyway.
It's that Von Miller won the freaking Super Bowl.
Anyway.
It's the Broncos did.
To pivot away from Kubiak, while I think you're off base, I think the Vic Fangio hire.
If Aqib Talib doesn't deflect that pass, they don't win the Super Bowl.
Hey, my turn.
No one cares.
2 minutes.
Shut up and speak.
I think at first I was very upset by the Vic Fangio hire because as a fan, I wanted the Broncos to fix that offense first and foremost. And I wanted just a young, energetic hire, someone that could bring life back into the Broncos organization. And then when we were linked with Mike Munchak and Vic Fangio, I was like, this sucks. This is the exact opposite of what we want. And now that it's happened, the more I'm looking into it, I think Fangio is a good hire. I think Kubiak is a good offensive coordinator. I think he is going to help turn that team around a little bit on offense. Though personnel has to come from Elway, we need a good quarterback.
Okay, right now the Broncos are calling, Broncos fans on social media are calling for Joe Flacco because Joe Flacco's best season was with Gary Kubiak in 2014 and Justin Forsett.
That's not a bad interim hire, especially because I don't like, with Herbert out, I don't love the quarterback class. I think we would be, the Broncos would be better to draft a outstanding defensive player, preferably either interior lineman or cornerback. But anyway, I think Fangio is going to bring a level of energy back to our defense. I think he is going to help the Broncos become a much more disciplined team as penalties killed us this year. And I don't think it's a bad hire. It's growing on me a little bit. If the Broncos got Flacco, that wouldn't be bad. It just, every move the Broncos make now, to me, just feels like a move to get back to 8-8. And 8-8 would be nice after the past two seasons.
I appreciate that.
But I don't want 8-8. I want Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're not shooting for that, it's disappointing.
I like that take.
Anyway, the New York Jets signed the Broncos' former offensive coordinator and former Miami Dolphins head coach, Adam Gase.
Yeah.
How do we feel about the Adam Gase hire? Anybody you want to chime in besides me so I'm not talking?
Oh, Adam Gase. I never have liked this guy. He just seems like not the head coaching type. Like, he doesn't have a commanding presence on that team. When I'm watching those games, I watched the Dolphins game against the Vikings. He seemed like an irrelevant statue. That was just watching his team.
A statue.
Yes. I think a coach...
That's an interesting way to describe a coach.
A coach is supposed to be a commanding presence and to make sure that his team is performing. And what Gase was doing, and what Gase had been doing that entire season with the Dolphins, was just living in mediocrity, living in complacency, waiting for the team that he had put together to perform. But you can't do that as a coach. You have to stay on top of it. And Gase is... This is a Jets move.
Couldn't they do any better? I mean, why hire a fired coach? What the names they interviewed aren't even why. Like, Mike McCarthy was interested.
I think Mike McCarthy would have been a better coach than Adam Gase, personally.
I think
Matt Rhule was interested, but they said he couldn't put together his own staff. So, what are the Jets doing? They could definitely do better than this. They're settling again. The Jets always do this. They settle. And with a bad quarterback right now, and or maybe he's not bad, but I personally think he's bad. If they need another coach to unlock him, this is not the right coach to do it.
Well, Ryan,
the Jets finished 4-12. They're gonna lose defensive assets this year, and they're gonna finish worse this next year. They're gonna have a worse record than 4-12.
I mean, and it did hurt them that they lost Jarvis, and
you're talking about the Dolphins now. The Dolphins lost Jarvis.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, yeah. No, I was talking about the Dolphins. Yeah. Like, it didn't help Gase that Jarvis had left.
So, if I can get in here, the Adam Gase hire just feels like a weird hire to me. I think the problems in Miami, where he just left, were not solely his fault, or even mainly his fault. I think Miami is a fairly dysfunctional organization that believes that it did a culture change, but didn't really change anything. I don't know. Adam Gase, it's not like a... It's a solid C hire for me. It doesn't feel like a good hire, but it doesn't feel like a bad one per se. I think he'll help Sam Darnold. I think he'll get them offensive assets. I think he'll help that offense get some playmakers and turn it around a little bit. But Adam Gase doesn't feel like the answer there. I think they could have done a little bit better. However, getting Todd Bowles out is a bit of an improvement.
In my opinion. That was something that needed to be done.
Let's talk about the last opening that has a hired coach in place. The Green Bay Packers hired former Tennessee Titans offensive coordinator Matt LaFleur.
Everybody, 3-2-1. LaFleur.
What do you think about Matt LaFleur? What do you think about Matt LaFleur?
That's my response.
I don't... Explain it's more French in English.
Or at... I don't know. They interviewed so many prospects I thought would be better. Why wouldn't you wait to see if Josh McDaniels... Why not wait? Some of these teams, I don't understand the quick hires. Why not wait till after... Or wait a little bit till some of these teams are out? Because Josh McDaniels would have been such a better hire for the Packers.
Well, McDaniels could have interviewed.
He already did.
McDaniels did interview.
McDaniels, but there, Brian
but
Flores.
He wouldn't be hired till afterwards, so they would have had to wait. So I don't understand why some of these teams...
before McFleur was even interviewed.
Not McFleur.
LeFleur.
That's our nickname for him now.
LeFleur.
Okay, McFleur.
McFlurry. Before he was even brought up into the conversation, Josh McDaniels, Brian Flores, Dan Campbell, Pete Carmichael, Todd Monken, and Adam Gase were all interviewed for this coaching job. And no one impressed them.
Okay, that's not... They never said no one impressed them.
I have a direct quote.
They do
here.
Not have
Went
a statement.
Went through the nine, and quite honestly, no one really stood out. Mark Murphy said.
Okay, Mark Murphy's not a part. He's a reporter.
Mark Murphy is...
That's not a direct statement.
Yes, it is.
He's
Mark Murphy is the team president of the Packers.
Yeah.
Jacob.
Let me see this quote. I haven't seen any quote from the Packers regarding this.
What's your source here?
This is ESPN.
That's a pretty good source.
Went through the nine, and quite honestly, no one really stood out, Murphy said. There were a lot of strong candidates, but there wasn't one that just jumped out at us.
Oh, geez. Well, that's disappointing.
Besides Matt LaFleur.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to say. Good find.
Thank you.
I didn't find that.
You didn't know who Mark
Murphy Matt LaFleur was the old coordinator, if I remember right, for the Rams the first year after they moved
he
to
was,
LA.
He yes, was but he didn't call plays there. Just...
He didn't call plays. He was just the
He was the O coordinator, but obviously McVay
They obviously
had that
were very
offense.
Good, but I think McVay had a lot to do with that too. And he moved. And I think the Packers offense will retain former dominance. And unlike Mike McCarthy, he'll actually unleash the beast that is known as Aaron Jones instead of diddling around with these little tweebs named Ty Montgomery and Jamal Williams. Maybe you'll unleash Aaron Jones because finally Mike McCarthy never did that. McCarthy would run 200.
But it took-
he would run for 200 yards, and McCarthy would start Jamal Williams next game. It doesn't make any sense. Matt LaFleur will unlock this offense.
And,
the concern I have is on the defensive side of the ball for the Packers.
I mean,
they used to have dominance, but now they're holding on to older players who just are past their prime. They don't have it anymore. It's time for the Packers to take these young guys that they had that were sitting on the sideline this season and give them a shot. Or find through the draft or free agency. It's just time for a fresh face, and I'm waiting to hear who Matt LaFleur gives the coordinator job to, because that would be wonderful.
I believe they're keeping Mike Pettine, the defensive coordinator from last year. I believe I've heard that. They're going to keep Pettine. I don't think their personnel was not up to par.
So what
but
was
they
Mike
definitely,
Pettine's record as the Browns coach?
Oh, I don't think it's a Browns coach thing. He was the defensive coordinator there before.
But no.
They
what was his record as the Browns coach?
I think they're just trying to get more talent.
His front picture's on the Browns. That's what this highlight picture is. So
yeah, because he used to head coach the Browns.
Yeah, what was his record?
Not good. But there's a reason he's not the head coach. He's the defensive coordinator.
Okay.
And their problems were with levels of talent. Their problems weren't system-based. I think he's got a good system.
Packers,
he's a good
Pettine
coordinator.
Brings different approach, admits mistakes. But, plus, by the way, Dom Capers was fired, so he didn't really get a full year, did he? Because Capers was fired right at the beginning of the season.
They had Pettine all this year.
Yeah. So it's first year.
Anyway.
So he could be better, but he it says here... Packers Pettine brings a different approach to this year.
To power through.
Considering, can't say words, a new style. He's considering a new style of defense.
Powering through, I think LaFleur wasn't the best choice with McDaniels available, but I think you can trust LaFleur more than McDaniels as a salty Broncos fan, and I think LaFleur is going to bring that team in a good new direction.
No,
out of all the teams that made a new hire, just quickly, Which one made the best? Jackson, Jacob, then me. Go.
I'm going to have to say LaFleur. LaFleur.
Which hires the best?
Which hires the best? Pat. Who got the best coach? Jackson says Packers.
Browns or Buccaneers?
Pick one.
Browns.
I was going to go Buccaneers. So I guess we all picked a different one. Then let's talk about the two openings real fast that don't have the position filled. The Cincinnati Bengals, first off, fired longtime head coach Marvin Lewis. That opening is still open. I don't love the Cincinnati organization, and I don't think candidates do necessarily. They're very wary on hiring, but they've interviewed Eric Bieniemy, who is the Chiefs' offensive coordinator, Bill Lazor, their current offensive coordinator, Todd Monken, the former Buccaneers coordinator, Darren Simmons, who is their special teams coordinator, the quarterback's coach and passing game coordinator from the Rams, Zach Taylor, and Shane Waldron, and then former Cincinnati Bengals and failed head coaches Hugh Jackson and Vance Joseph. Jackson currently with the team, obviously in an assistant role. Vance Joseph, the recently fired Broncos head coach. Who do you think they go with?
I don't like any of them, but if it was down to those guys, I'd have to go with the guy who has the most experience, and that would be...
Please don't say Hugh Jackson.
It's not Hugh Jackson. I think that he's a good assistant coach. I would have to go with Vance Joseph. Even though the Broncos system didn't fit him, and I know that you don't really like him, and I think he just needs a new locker room. And I might be wrong about this, but I feel like different players have different mindsets about different people. And Vance Joseph could take a hold of this locker room, unlike the way he held the Broncos locker room. So if he gets the players on his side, and he gets just support from all sides of the management, I think that Vance will do a good job having Hugh by his side, because Hugh's a defensive mind, right?
Hugh is an idiot, but yes, he is a defensive coordinator.
He's a defensive...
Or was a defensive coordinator.
Vance?
No, he was an offensive guy, excuse me.
He was offensive, okay. So with Hugh being offensively inclined, with Andy Dalton and all those weapons that they have on the offense, I think that Vance will have a good amount of time to really evaluate the defense and establish a good plan going forward with that.
I think...
We have a new notification in.
We do.
A recent update. The second returns of the NBA All-Star voting were just released, and Derrick Rose is still ahead of Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, with LeBron James and Steph Curry leading the voting. And Giannis, obviously, up there. And Luka Doncic is still the second in the voting in the West.
Well, that's because Luka Doncic is the greatest NBA player to ever set.
He has more votes than Steph Curry, and he's only second to LeBron.
That's because he's
LeBron.
Better.
So here's the top voters in the West. LeBron, Doncic,
Luka.
Curry, Derrick Rose is the fourth player. For the East, Giannis, Kyrie, Kawhi, Dwayne Wade.
The fact that Mo Bamba isn't the top
Wade.
Yeah, it's disrespectful that Mo Bamba's not in there.
Disrespect.
Anyway, Dwayne to get Wade. On and talk about a topic that actually matters, because as much as the NBA All-Star Game is cool and I want to see Derrick Rose in it, it's second return.
I'm letting you know, Vince Carter is seventh right now.
Vince Carter will get in because we like stories like that. Anyway,
Zach
Jacob,
Levine?
Who do you think the Bengals hire? Or are you just in a world of NBA fun and explosion and lights and LeBron James?
Fun and explosion and lights? Jeez. I would like to see them go with McCarthy, but I think he's out.
McCarthy is out. He has ruled
McCarthy's
himself out.
McCarthy's returning in 2020.
He has ruled himself out for the 19 openings.
I think it's a good move to finally get rid of Marvin Lewis. I have no idea why they kept him. I think I like the Chiefs guy. I'm trying to remember his name right now, the D
Eric
coordinator.
Eric Bieniemy?
Yeah.
I really liked Eric Bieniemy. I hope the Broncos hired him, but
the Cowboys coach. The guy who's been the
Chris Richards. Chris
multiple
Richards.
Jobs.
He hasn't interviewed with them yet, but he would be a
I would
player.
Like to see those two just because younger, fresher minds again. Yeah, like I said before.
If they wanted to make a radical hire, my choice would be they bring in Zach Taylor, the QB coach from the Rams, and then bring in Waldron to be his offensive coordinator. I think that would be a very interesting and innovative move. But the Bengals might be the least interesting and innovative team in the NFL. They're getting Vance Joseph. Anyway, the other opening belongs to the Miami Dolphins, who just recently fired Adam Gase, and they've interviewed four coaches for that, I believe, with Dennis Allen, the Saints defensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy, who we've talked about, Chris Richards, the defensive backs coach, de facto defensive coordinator for the Cowboys, and Brian Flores, who's also the de facto defensive coordinator for the New England Patriots. What do you think the Dolphins should do? Honestly, though, I do want to mention, in my opinion, that is the worst opening of all the NFL job openings that came open this offseason.
Which one?
The Dolphins. The last two,
because I think there needs to be some big decisions made there in terms of Devontae Parker with the contract situation. Ryan Tannehill is a big one, just injuries. I feel like his injuries have kept him from really showing what he can do. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, when he's been healthy, he's been like a Blake Bortles type of quarterback.
He hasn't been Blake Bortles bad, but he hasn't been good. Anyway.
He's been Blake Bortles at his best. Average.
And Blake Bortles at his best is average. AFC champion.
He's Blake Bortles average. Calibrated to garbage.
Oh time. My gosh. See, this is what I'm tired about with NFL fans. It's not one player that brings you to the championship. Blake Bortles played average. He's a game manager. The defense is what brought them to the as far as they went in the playoffs. Blake Bortles just managed the game. And yes, he did good, but good for Blake Bortles is an average NFL quarterback. You don't want that in a quarterback. Jeez.
Anyway, I'll go to Jackson with this one. Your thoughts on the Dolphins opening. Who do you think is a decent fit there? And
himself. He thinks himself.
I don't know. I like Josh McDaniels, and I feel like he, with his job, head coaching 10 years, haven't been the
his
most
one
productive.
Terrible coaching tenure with the Denver Broncos, but go ahead.
Yeah, so I think that he would be the best for this situation. Being on the Patriots, he knows what it feels like to win, and now he knows where to go with that. With that whole situation with Ryan Tannehill and just the entirety of that entire team, I think that they need someone that's organized and who has been in an organized situation. And McDaniels is, in my mind, the best coaching option on the board right now. So I'm going with McDaniels. Enough said.
I think NFL teams definitely took a lot of stock into McDaniels and his whole debacle with the Colts last year. That decision to leave them.
It kind of worked out for them, though, I'm going to be honest.
It did work out for them, but Bill Belichick'd the Jets.
Bill Belichick was at the press conference, and then afterwards, Bill Belichick.
Belichick lighted them.
Yes, he lightly Bill Belichick. It was a sprinkle
Bill
of
Belichick.
Bill Belichicking.
But I think, I mean, the Dolphins, there's ownership problems there. Like, they're the worst opening, as I said, and I think it shows the fact that that'll probably be the last opening that gets filled. It feels like a Chris Richard spot for me. Feels like Chris Richard. Anything else to talk about before we transition into our second topic of the day?
Let's transition to our second topic. But before we do that, Anchor is amazing. You guys should try it.
I love Anchor.
Anchor has allowed us to become this podcast.
Yeah, this podcast. So go check out Anchor. If you're looking to make your voice heard and you're interested in a radio or broadcasting career, Anchor provides you a platform to do that.
Take it from three broke college kids. Because of Anchor, now we have money to go out on Friday nights. So thank you, Anchor. Woo! Our second topic and our last topic we're going to talk about real quickly today before I have to go to class is we're going to take our picks for the different awards for the year. In the NFL. We'll go from Coach of the Year to Comeback Player, Defensive Rookie, Offensive Rookie, DPOY, Offensive Player of the Year, OPOY, and then the MVP for the season. Let's start with Coach of the Year. Jacob, who do you got?
Coach of the year?
Yeah.
Matt Nagy from the Chicago Bears. Took him to another level.
Jackson?
No, I agree, actually. That was my pick. Nagy just completely turned around that offense. Mitchell Trubisky found his identity. And, yeah, no, they're going to go, unfortunately, not as far as we hoped with the playoffs due to a Cody Parkey blocked kick. Blocked kick. So, no, it's disappointing, but I'm excited to see where that Bears defense goes and that team.
Yeah, I think that was the easy one to pick. It's Nagy all the way. I mean, he really only had competition from Mike Vrabel, and Vrabel didn't make the playoffs, so I think it was pretty easily Nagy. Comeback player of the year? This one's kind of a two-horse race here, so I want to see who you guys go with. We'll go with Jacob again. Who's your pick for comeback player of the year?
Comeback player of the year? I'm going... I think it's a tough choice, but personally, I think I'm going to go with Andrew Luck.
Damn it.
Language.
Sorry.
10 push-ups. Push-ups.
No, I get 2 minutes.
No, 10 push-ups. No. The total rolls, bro. Push-ups for cussing, minutes
for you guys
didn't stupid.
Know, Jackson is now an RA at our college.
It's the only time I have power over him anymore, is what we're trying to say. Good form, good form. Anyway, you pick Andrew Luck. Was J.J. Watt in the thought process for you?
He was, actually. J.J. Watt was the other player I was thinking of.
That's
which I didn't... I actually was borderline if he qualified or not, since he played for part of the year, but...
He did miss...
Comeback player of the year for me is a little...
Got a banana?
Jackson...
Lost a lot of potassium in those push-ups, bro.
Anyway, Jackson...
You lost potassium.
Jackson,
are you dumb?
Your pick for comeback player of the year.
No, I totally agree with Jacob. Andrew Luck has brought his game to another level. Coming back, proving the haters wrong, proving the doubters wrong. Just being able to come back from all the diversity. Sorry. That was flustered.
Adversity, I think is the word you're looking
yep.
for.
And truly just brought the Colts to a relevant team again. As, I mean, that was in part with his offensive line not letting him get sacked.
Good
lot.
Head coach. I mean, there's a lot of factors.
Yeah, a lot of factors.
But they're led by Andrew Luck.
And Andrew Luck definitely was a big piece of that.
Yep, I think we'd all be in agreement there. J.J. Watt. Phenomenal athlete, great uh-huh. comeback.
Back
a close second, but Andrew
oh, yeah.
Luck was just
outstanding.
And I think if anything cemented it, it was the playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive rookie of the year. There's some good players
oh,
in that conversation.
Heck yeah, but I think there's one who stands above all of them. I know there's great ones, but it's got to be Derwin James for me. From the Chargers. I just like to, as an honorable mention, like to recognize some other Leighton Vander Esch from the Cowboys, Denzel Ward from Cleveland, Bradley Chubb from Denver, Darius Leonard from Indianapolis, Minka Fitzpatrick from Miami was impressive, Roquan Smith from Chicago, and Jair Alexander from Green Bay. Those were all great players. I just think it's such a close race, but at the same time, Derwin James with his ability to tackle, to come up, to make the right reads, just made that Chargers defense formidable. And honestly, to me, he's a top three safety in the NFL. And he's only a rookie. He should win this award. And I'm not discounting the other people on this
yeah,
list.
Yeah, we know. Jackson?
I really like Bradley Chubb this year for the Broncos. He really brought an identity back for the Broncos linebackers position. With Von Miller getting old a little bit and his contract winding down. They want to look for younger pieces. And Bradley Chubb is the focal point now for that entire defensive situation, as he had 5 more sacks than any other rookie and 4 tackles for loss against the run. That's outstanding to hear from a rookie on a team that was the definition of complacency with Vance Joseph in the helm. Sorry, Logan, but it's true. So Chubb
Logan
was,
agrees with that.
Chubb was a light spot in that season for the Denver Broncos. So
As was Von Miller.
I'm not discrediting Von Miller at all. But no, Bradley Chubb is my pick for defensive.
I like Bradley Chubb a whole lot.
I don't think he wins it.
But Bradley Chubb's season is a little deceiving. He, while getting those sacks, and he set the record for most sacks by a rookie, a lot of those sacks, he didn't get a lot of pressures. So the sack total is a little misleading, not to discount what he did. I think he's easily top three in a loaded defensive class. And if you think this year is loaded, next year is going to be insane.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm going to give it to Darius Leonard. Partly because I feel a little bad that nobody gave it to Darius Leonard. And I don't want to discount Derwin James, who I think will actually win the award in real life. But that defense was good before Derwin James came in. That defense was a top, probably the best defense in the AFC or AFC West last year before Derwin James joined it. I'd like you guys to name one player on the Indianapolis Colts defense besides Darius Leonard.
Gino.
There. Exactly. You can't. He missed one game this year against the Patriots, and they allowed 38 points.
He makes all the tackles, the whole defense too, let's be
the
honest.
The whole defense has been impressive this year, and a lot of credit goes to all of them. But without Darius Leonard, they're not close to what they were.
I'm now going to look up the roster just to make sure I didn't just disrespect anybody on their defense.
I don't think you did. There's some decent players on that team. Marcus Hunt,
the starters. I still have not found anybody that I disrespected. Hassan Ridgeway isn't bad. Jabal Sherwood, but I don't think so.
Marcus Hunt had a pretty good year.
Let me look. Yeah, Darius Leonard is the only name that jumps out to me right now. I'm going to be honest. I don't think I knew any of these people.
I mean, he's definitely a leader on that defense.
Maybe Kenny Moore, but other than that, no chance. Oh, so yep, I did. I'm sorry. I'd like to apologize to Malik Hooker.
Oh, that's my bad. Malik Hooker.
He's a good player.
Malik Hooker is a good safety.
I'd also like to apologize to their punter, Rigoberto Sanchez. I completely disrespect him.
Rigoberto Sanchez is one of my favorite
from
names.
From Hawaii, 2 years of experience, 195 pounds, 6 feet tall, age 24. I disrespected him. I'm sorry.
All right, let's get rolling again. Time is money. And money, we're about out of both of those things. Offensive Rookie of the Year. Who are you guys picking?
Oh, this is easy. It's the easiest thing I've ever done.
Yep, same with me.
It's easy. Who is it?
Josh Rosen.
In all reality, on the count of three, everybody say their pick. 3, 2, 1, Baker Mayfield.
Lamar Jackson.
I love Baker Mayfield. So,
No.
Lamar Jackson will finish third in the voting for Rookie of the Year.
Really?
But Philip Lindsay might finish above him.
Oh, Baker?
No. Baker is...
Offensive Rookie of the Year
is between Baker and Saquon. Let's be real. Those are the two people it's between right now.
I don't know. Lamar
We'll let him make his case, but you make yours.
Here's the candidates. Baker, Saquon for one, and then the rest of the list are Josh Allen could be on there,
Lindsay.
Sony Michel, Quentin Nelson from the Colts, Nick Chubb, Lamar Jackson. Those would be the people that I would say, but none of those.
Philip Lindsay.
I already said him.
Oh, good.
Yeah. None of them hold a candle to Baker or Saquon. But this year. So I think Baker and Saquon are the front runners just because of what they've done on their teams. This is the same thing as Defensive Rookie of the Year. Are you going to tell me, maybe for Josh Allen, you maybe wouldn't take him because Jackson doesn't like Josh Allen, but I would take any of the guys in this list. Almost all these guys look like they're Pro Bowl players. They have a lot of potential. This is the same thing as Defensive Rookie of the Year. I do not want to discount anybody. I'm just saying the only people that should receive first place votes are Saquon and Baker. It will be between those two.
Jackson?
It was very impressive. I was very, very skeptical on Lamar Jackson and his ability to take a team as a quarterback.
Oh my gosh, I'm getting emotional.
Stop.
Jackson, Mom, you're admitting you're wrong.
I didn't hate Lamar. I just was skeptical on him because we've seen quarterbacks go into this league with like running quarterbacks, and like we see like Mike Vick and Cam Newton, but he wasn't drawing any of those comparisons. He's very kind of scrawny compared to those two, and I didn't think that he would be able to sustain those. But he turned that Ravens team around for the better and brought him to the playoffs, winning the AFC North. So I think you're right. Baker and Saquon have a way better track record, considering rookie of the year because of the fact that they played a lot more than Lamar Jackson. But I think if Lamar Jackson played a little bit more, that would be a really close three-way, man. I don't know.
I guess I'm the only one that went with Baker, which surprises me a little bit. I would have thought you went with Baker, Jacob.
I have to admit greatness when I see it, and Saquon Barkley is a future Pro Bowler and possibly an MVP in this league.
The case I'm going to make for Baker, and I'm going to directly detract from Saquon here,
will win MVP.
Is Baker Mayfield completely turned around the Cleveland Browns
draft pick
organization.
With the first round pick.
While Saquon Barkley was very good, I wouldn't say he turned around the Giants organization. They still have a lot of those same issues. Also, Saquon Barkley put up a lot of numbers, but his usage is insane. Baker Mayfield, just, again, he's the Cleveland Browns live or die by how Baker Mayfield does, and Baker Mayfield was phenomenal. They almost made the playoffs. That's unheard of in recent history in Cleveland. Baker Mayfield might be almost as good as Derek Anderson.
And he also broke the rookie touchdown record for
He's like, he's almost a hero in Cleveland. He might be the greatest athlete to go through Cleveland since LeBron James.
Okay, that...
just a question. Do you think Vic Fangio will win Assistant Coach of the Year?
I do think Vic Fangio wins Assistant Coach of the Year. I don't think there's really
I think
you got
to look to Baltimore,
candidate.
Cleveland, Chicago, and Indianapolis. I think it'll be one of those guys. That being Martindale, defensive coordinator for Baltimore, Kitchens for Cleveland, Fangio for Chicago, and Eberflus for Indianapolis, who's the D coordinator. You already talked about their defense.
Right.
I don't think he'll actually win it. I think it'll be Kitchens or Martindale, just because of the vibe around Kitchens bringing that offense to life. Because
he's so cute.
But I think Martindale will win it.
Right. Quickly, I'm running out of time. Defensive Player of the Year. Jacob.
That's Jacob. So hard.
Jackson.
No question.
Jacob. Really?
Yeah.
It's got to be Aaron Donald for me.
I'm going Aaron Donald.
I'm sorry.
Well.
The way he went in there, he should win this competition. I don't even think Khalil Mack should. Maybe Khalil Mack should get one first place vote, maybe even zero. Aaron Donald has been a. Let me just keep this short because we don't have much time, but everyone's seen the Aaron Donald highlight tape. The guy gets double teams, and he's being held on both sides. This is like a repeat of Quinnen Williams in the Clemson game. The picture of him running through the line being held on both sides, still making the tackle, stopping the run, and that's why he's such a good player. That's why people compare him to Aaron Donald sometimes, because Aaron Donald is able to disrupt the run and the pass at a defensive lineman spot, which you don't think of a lot of defensive linemen who can come through the middle and affect the pass that well. He gives a consistent show of effort, and I think Khalil Mack had a great season, but Aaron Donald had an exceptional season.
Khalil Mack was very good this year. However, with him being good, very good, Aaron Donald had four more sacks than any other defender in football. He's eight quarterback knockdowns ahead of the second place player. He's just offenses plan for him.
I'd just like to also point out, Danielle Hunter gets the last vote in the 10th place for this award. Just a little representation.
Von Miller's in the top 10 too, but like I think it's Aaron Donald, no question.
Von Miller's actually not in the top 10 for ESPN.
He should be.
Danielle Hunter is above him, same as T.J. Watt and Stephen Gilmore.
That's dumb. Stephon Gilmore is.
He's not even in the
good.
Top 10 for ESPN.
Von Miller has similar stats to J.J. Watt.
That's crazy.
That's dumb. Anyway, offensive player of the year.
Yeah, let's go to the offense, baby. I think this is easy. He wasn't there at the start of the season, but it's Ezekiel Elliott, and I know this. It's just an emotional. No, I'm taking. Okay, Barkley, McCaffrey, Hopkins, and Gurley would be the main one. Zach Ertz had a great season. Michael Thomas had a great season, but I think it's between Gurley, Elliott, Hopkins, and McCaffrey. Barkley's out of it, but the fact that Barkley will win Offensive Rookie of the Year or be close to that and be on Offensive Player of the Year gives you a sign to how good he was. That he's with just all the other players, not even rookies. And he's expected to compete for that award. But I think it's Ezekiel Elliott. I think just the way he came alive in this last half of the season shows what he can do on the field. I thought it was Todd Gurley for so long, but that injury kind of derailed him. So maybe he'll get it just because they'll take into consideration that injury and that he was so dominant when he was on the field. But honestly, I want to say DeAndre Hopkins should win it. He's the best offensive player in the NFL. But he's not going to. Ezekiel Elliott will win it. But DeAndre Hopkins is the best receiver in the NFL and one of the top five players in the whole entire NFL. All
right. Jackson?
No, I'll just keep mine short. DeAndre Hopkins, no one can really guard him. Defenses have to plan him.
I'm starting to like you. What happened over Christmas break? Jeez.
All right. Most valuable player? MVP?
Oh. I got to give mine first.
Oh, that's right.
And I'm going to give my
Offensive
player of the year in tandem with my MVP pick here. Because I think the offensive player of the year is going to go to the second place player in my MVP decision. In that, for my MVP decision, it's between really two candidates. Phillip Rivers was good, but he's a little on the outside because his team is only a wild card team, in my opinion. I think it's a two-horse race between Drew Brees and Patrick Mahomes. And there's been nobody in the NFL this year like Patrick Mahomes. He's had a season for the ages. He won't probably ever match this again, in my opinion. The fact that he has a completion with his left hand and his right hand this season.
And no look pass.
Which is dumb. It's stupid dumb. He's insane. Patrick Mahomes wins MVP. Drew Brees is the offensive player of the year. That's how I have it going.
Well,
offensive player of the year is non-QB, so Drew Brees can't.
Oh, it is non-QB?
Yeah, they changed it.
I didn't realize that. Well, if that's the case, I'm going Nuke. DeAndre Hopkins.
There we go.
And then you all know what I think about MVP? Patrick Mahomes.
By the way, guys, a legendary fantasy football team name is the Nuke Tang Clan. I think you guys should consider it. It's a very legendary fantasy football name. I'm not saying that because it's my own team's name, but... Or maybe I am, but, you know. We're pretty hot.
Anyway,
Champions of the league, five years running, baby.
Do we all agree on Mahomes?
Yes. We should.
I'll take that
as a
yes.
That's my two claps for appreciation of Mahomes. What a great season.
Good job, Mahomes.
No, two claps.
Yay, Patrick.
There you go. Two on three. One, two, three. There you go. We clapped it up.
Boom.
Boom. Roasted.
Yay, Patrick Mahomes.
Do you pass for only 50 or do you go over 50?
He passed, I think, over 50. I can't remember the whole number.
He wasn't that much over.
Ridiculously high.
He almost broke the record. One more game.
Yeah.
Well, if he had a good game.
Fair.
There was one game he had zero touchdowns, and I was so mad. Cause
why, you wanted that touchdown record for him?
Yeah, and he was on my fantasy team.
5,097.
That was his.
Are you guys looking at stats right now?
Yeah, for
him. Can you guys name the one player that threw for more than him this year?
Drew Brees?
Threw for more yards.
Oh, yards. No.
Yeah.
Oh, it was
Roethlisberger.
Are you freaking kidding me? He's such a bad quarterback.
Roethlisberger threw for like 30 more yards than he did. Do you know how many more attempts he had?
Oh, probably a lot more, I think.
95.
That's a lot.
Ooh, he had 95 more attempts than Patrick Mahomes did.
I think that's when...
And he threw for 16 less touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes threw for 50. He threw for 34.
The thing is, that's probably a testament to their special teams, their bad field position, their gunning offense, and their running game. Which I don't think they gave a lot to James Conner. Especially when Conner was out, they just relied all on the throwing game. So Roethlisberger got so much more. I think the fact that Kareem Hunt was in for the season.
Conner had 215 carries, which is less than players like Chris Carson,
yeah.
Joe Mixon.
Williams.
Ezekiel Elliott, I'd like to point out, with your thing, he had a very good year rushing and catching the ball for that team. But he ran the ball 304 times. I think he's out of the offensive player of the year conversation just because that usage is going to work against him.
No, I think the usage is going to work for him.
I think the usage is going
to
work
for him. Show how valuable a player he is to that team that they give him the ball.
He got exactly 50.
Yeah, Pat Mahomes hit exactly 50. But just even then, like, he's just so far ahead. He had 66% complete pass. That's comparatively that you may say that's low compared to other quarterbacks. Like, he completed an average more passes than Tom Brady did this year. Than Aaron Rodgers did this year. He threw for more yards than everybody except for Roethlisberger. And technically that doesn't matter because Roethlisberger threw way more than he did. Considerably more.
Mm-hmm.
He only threw 12 picks. God. Patrick Mahomes is so good. Why isn't he on my team? Too many thoughts on my mind. I can't sleep at night, so I just keep writing. I don't need no help. I don't need opinions. God, we're going to draft Daniel Jones.